This is WWE superstar Drew McIntyre, and you're listening to the WWE Podcast.
One that everybody wants, me.
Becky Lynch is going to WrestleMania.
Claymore!
Oh! Austin 316 says I just whipped your ass.
This is my iron.
You're going to acknowledge me.
What's going on, everybody, guys and girls? Welcome back to another edition of the SmackDown Review right here on the WWE Podcast. As always, I am the host of this show, Michael Ritter. You can find me on X at Michael Five Ritter. I am, you know, here to review the SmackDown that is from where? A small town in Connecticut, I believe. You know, DJ Kuzma provided the location breakdown, but because it was so far down the line, whenever you're talking about everything that was going on the Patreon, the Discord chat, you know, cause that's a luxury. If you subscribe on Patreon, you get access to the Discord server where you can communicate with various different WWE podcast listeners. In fact, this one is from, well, let me pronounce this right, the Mohegan Sun Arena in Uncasville, Connecticut, I believe. That's what DJ Kuzmo said. So location breakdown obviously brought to you by DJ. I probably butchered the name, so that's on me. But another, I guess, perk of being a Patreon subscriber is sometimes you get to come on the show and actually host a Raw or SmackDown with the co-host, which is what we're going to do today. We're joined by Frankie Graham, who is a member of the WWE podcast family. He is a Patreon subscriber as well. So you definitely want to do that already, or do that if you haven't already, I should say. But Frankie, thank you so much for joining, bud. I appreciate you taking the time out of your weekend to hop on here and talk about some SmackDown with me. Maybe even get some WrestleMania predictions.
Yes, I am so excited. Ready to go.
Awesome. Well, as you can tell, you know, whenever Roman Reigns or Cody Rhodes and The Rock aren't on SmackDown, you feel it, you know, especially just these last few weeks. It seems like every single week we've been getting some type of juicy main event scene. Whenever you're talking about the Universal Champion, Roman Reigns, or I guess the Undisputed Champion, obviously Seth Rollins has even come over to SmackDown a little bit within the last couple weeks. But this night in particular, it was more so focused on the women, I feel like. It was more building that type of picture and setting the stage for, you know, what the women's division is going to look like, since it got a pretty big bolt of energy with the addition of Jade Cargill. You know, her showing up tonight, I feel like, you know, cutting her first promo and then actually coming out in a main event segment that, you know, was absolutely one of the best parts of the night. But we're going to go through just some of the things. We probably won't go in chronological order. Just that's usually the method I take whenever I'm hosting these shows solo. Whenever I have somebody else, I like to kind of just go through the big talk or the talking points. That way we can make sure to, you know, to cover everything that happened. And because, you know, it's not just me speaking, you know, I want to get your opinions as well. So we're not just going to roll through it like that. We'll kind of just go segment by segment here and just kind of pick out which things we want to talk about. We could start off with LA Knight dressing as a security guard. I'm sure that was something that was nice for the in-crowd audience, like the people that were actually there in a, you know, in attendance, because, you know, the guy came running over the barricade. You thought that maybe that would have been LA Knight. Quickly, we realized, no, that's not him. AJ Styles obviously called out the cameraman, was taking shots at him. And then we do see LA Knight there with a hat on, a wig, got some glasses, an oversized shirt, so his muscles really weren't exposed by any means, and it really did look like a security guard, probably for the people who were sitting in the middle section, although him standing there like that could have probably been a little bit of a giveaway. But what are your thoughts on this match right here? I really haven't got a chance to talk to you about it. Obviously, about AJ Styles and LA Knight, because last week, obviously, they were at his house. We've seen these two kind of build this hatred for each other, even dating back to when AJ Styles just came back. He attacked LA Knight for pretty much jumping over him in the line to challenge Roman Reigns. And then you think about what he did going over to Australia for the Elimination Chamber. It seems like whenever you're talking about a grudge match, which we really don't see in WWE anymore, especially at WrestleMania, this is going to be, I think, one for the ages because of the two people that are involved. But what are your thoughts about the build up to this match, and are you excited to see these two go head to head at WrestleMania?
I I'd rather AJ or LA Knight go up against someone other than AJ Styles. But that being said, you know, AJ, it is what it is. He's a great, great, in-ring performer and, especially right on the Mount Rushmore. But, that being said, this grudge match, I feel, is going to be a long doing grudge match, not short term.
So you think it's probably going to go further past WrestleMania?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, that's usually what they do, especially since they've had the tagline WrestleMania Backlash for the last few years. It seems like most of these programs tend to go just a little bit further than WrestleMania. So that might be a little bit of a teaser for what's to come. Because, you know, obviously, I really haven't thought about that yet. Like, I haven't thought about the possibility of some of these programs and some of these feuds going further. Like, if a title changes hands, usually at Backlash, that's whenever the champion gets their contractual rematch. So, you know, we could see that happen probably a couple of these championships, but I do expect to change hands.
I think LA Knight is going to face AJ, continue facing him until the draft. And then that's when he'll go over to Raw.
Have you heard anything about that draft? Is that like just a little bit of like a hunch, like a little early prediction, or?
It's a hunch because they usually do it in September. So, you know, that's being said that's more of like a little less than halfway. So I feel like that's a new beginning for LA Knight because that's what he needs. He needs a new beginning.
Yeah,
and especially with Cody Rhodes possibly going over to SmackDown, they got to have a big star coming to be on Raw. And I feel Seth is gonna. I think it's gonna be a double heel turn on Mania. That's just my predictions, my thoughts, not predictions, but thoughts.
All right. Moving on here. Like I said, we didn't see Roman Reigns on the show, but we did see Paul Heyman, Jimmy Uso, and Solo Sikoa, where it was announced that Roman Reigns ordered the match to prevent Jay from making it to his WrestleMania match with Jimmy Uso. So that match that he is ordering is going to take place next week. Solo Sikoa versus Jay Uso, brother versus brother, just days before he has to take on his other brother, Jay Uso, that is. So we get a match ordered by Roman Reigns for Solo Sikoa to pretty much put his defeated streak. He's like 0-30 something since he beat John Cena. It's actually crazy. If there was any type of, you know, betting apps out there, I would put as much money as I possibly could on Jey Uso to beat Solo Sikoa next week. But what do you think about that? Getting a little bit of brother versus brother, Jey Uso having to take on both of his brothers in the same week.
You know, first off, I think Jay is gonna beat Solo because Solo is what 0-30 or something like that since losing to John Cena, and so he's gonna lose against Jay just so Jay can have built up for WrestleMania, and I also feel like the final boss is not The Rock. I think it's Jay Uso.
That's an interesting perspective there.
Because you think about it, Jay's been underneath of Cody this whole entire time, hasn't done nothing, really done anything towards Cody, and I feel something like that will go big, that, you know, will turn his back on somebody. And say, hey, I'm the boss man, not you.
I think that is a, you know, way out type of long-term development, if that were to be the case. Because The Rock, man, he's on fire right now. I feel like the version of him that we're getting, WWE wants to take into Netflix. I'm sure that since he's now on the board, he's going to want the product to be as successful as possible. And, you know, I'm looking forward to reaping the benefits of that, just being a wrestling fan. Just, you know, obviously most of his work, not this past, you know, thing that happened on Monday Night Raw, obviously, but, you know, SmackDown was, it's no secret, it was pretty much named after The Rock, or created in his honor, I should say. Like, SmackDown was the show that was supposed to elevate stars like The Rock, who he took to the next level. And then we've seen guys come up after him, such as like Eddie Guerrero, Kurt Angle, you know, John Cena, obviously. I remember The Big Show, Brock Lesnar, The Undertaker. Like, there were so many different wrestlers that were on SmackDown way back in the day that are just kind of synonymous with the brand. The Rock is, he is the, you know, the poster child of SmackDown. So the fact that, you know, he's come back multiple times and we've gotten a chance to see him on the show, I hope we see a lot more of it because, you know, what else is going on? Obviously, he's going to be doing a movie at some point. Like, we're not going to get The Rock every single week for the entire year. You know, once WrestleMania comes and goes, you could probably expect his schedule to really take a decline. Now, obviously, that's just a prediction. I don't know. I would love to be wrong, obviously, and we're just sitting here talking about how much we love seeing The Rock. So I'm not sitting here saying I want him to go away, but it's just kind of what you expect. You know, if you set yourself up for high expectations, then you're going to be disappointed most likely. But if you just expect The Rock's going to go away sometime in the near future, then, you know, the more weeks that you get, you could just kind of enjoy him. And obviously John Cena making these cryptic posts on Instagram where you think that maybe he could show up, you know, seeing that truck in the background of this beatdown between, you know, Cody Rhodes and The Rock that happened on Monday Night Raw this past week. I saw on the internet. Now, obviously, that was a WWE production truck, right? It had Stone Cold Steve Austin's picture. It had John Cena's picture on it. However, those aren't the trucks that WWE is using right now to travel across the world. There's been research done. Fans have been taking photos of their production trucks, and they're all WrestleMania themed. You know, they all have Charlotte Flair and Drew McIntyre or something. You know, like they're very up to date with the stars that are on their production trucks. So the fact that is the one that was shown had to have been a strategic move. And I think that, you know, I mean, it's WrestleMania 40. You know, this is WrestleMania XL. And why wouldn't they bring out everybody? Why wouldn't they make this storyline that they're putting all their eggs into?
And also, like, I've been listening to this other podcast called Busted Out. And, they said that, what if, Dustin Rhodes shows up? I mean, he's gonna be in Philly during WrestleMania, you know, doing his other skits. So there is a possibility he might show up because of the fact of the tweets that he's been posting on X saying, F you, Rock, all this.
It would just have to be the first time that WWE and AEW actually worked together. Now you can say, well, I mean, they mentioned Sting's retirement match on, you know, national television on Monday Night Raw whenever, you know, Pat McAfee said that was a hell of a match last night or whatever, you know, was said. You could, you know, talk about Cody Rhodes just having history over there and how, you know, maybe they could just put their differences aside for this night, but I just don't see AEW being willing to help out WWE with this type of, you know, monumental moment. I feel like that would almost be like them admittedly taking the back seat and just saying, even though it's inevitable, like we all know who's in the front seat and who's in the back seat when it comes to the, you know, pro wrestling industry. But what's up?
Even if it's family versus fam or bloodline versus, you know, bloodline match, you know, that's who I would like to see come because he has to bring his family.
Well, I would love it too. Like the fact that he does have a brother who's a pro wrestler that's wrestling right now, like it makes all the sense in the world. The only thing that doesn't make sense about it is that he's currently signed to AEW and it's just so unlikely. Now, is it impossible? No. You know, Mickie James showed up whenever she was the Ring of Honor Women's Champion. Same thing with who was it this past Royal Rumble? Man, I can't remember her name.
I think her last name was like Lopez or something
Jordan
like that.
Jordan Grace, the one that was Royal Rumble and obviously had her moment. So it's not completely out of this world. I've seen Triple H, who probably, you know, is close with Goldust. They were wrestlers in the same era, you know, so it wouldn't absolutely blow me away, but it's the other side. Like I know that Triple H would probably be willing to do business with AEW, especially in a moment like this where it makes WWE have the juicy storyline. But would he be just as willing, say, you know, because, I mean, it's WrestleMania, right? Like, this is a big moment for WWE. What about whenever, what is it? Is it All In? I don't know exactly which pay-per-view for AEW was like the big time, like their, you know, massive pay-per-view. But say they had something really big going on and, you know, they asked, hey, you know, it's involving one of our guys. Can we borrow somebody from, you know, a big, even if it's not even a big time wrestler, would Triple H be willing to let that happen? Or, you know, it's just one of those things, like there's so much speculation. And at this point, there's so much crossover. Like, who knows? Like, say it involves Buddy Murphy, you know, like say Buddy Murphy's in the main event of AEW's biggest pay-per-view. And he says, hey, and you know, Tony Khan calls Triple H and says, hey, can I get Rhea Ripley to come be in Buddy Murphy's corner and, you know, show him? And she's the WWE Women's Champion at this point, or the World Champion, whatever it is. That would be insane, you know, for that to, you know, be one of the things. So that's one thing that I feel like, as far as fantasy booking goes, you're spot on. That would be brilliant to have Goldust come out just as Dustin Rhodes, no makeup, nothing like that, just come out to help his brother whenever, obviously, and inevitably, the numbers do become a disadvantage for Cody Rhodes. But yeah, you know, it's just one of those things that it's hard to picture the two top companies working together at this point, especially for something like WrestleMania.
I mean, it's going, you got to think big wise. And they're going to go big.
Yeah, without a doubt. Like WWE, like if it was just a one-sided thing, like if WWE was like, hey, can we borrow Goldust for this weekend? Like, can we borrow Dustin Rhodes? Like, I'm sure that they would 100% be willing to do it, WWE that is. But it's just AEW saying like, yeah, we're going to help you make your the storyline that could ultimately put us under, the storyline that's been pretty much taking over and the reason why we're taking a back seat for so long. They would pretty much just be helping that out. That's the only perspective I'm trying to look at it from, is not just from a WWE lens, but also from people who don't want to see WWE have the biggest storyline in the world, that they want to see them kind of drop the ball here and hopefully it can close the gap. We get two qualifying matches.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of them is featuring New Catch Republic going up against Legado del Fantasma. And speaking of Legado del Fantasma, the reason why they had a massive disadvantage in this specific match is because right before it happened, Rey Mysterio and Dragon Lee ended up challenging Dominic Mysterio and Santos Escobar to a match at WrestleMania 40. And then a brawl took place, which LWO got the better of. Dragon Lee was introduced as the newest member of LWO. Going to be a pretty good match when you think about, you know, WrestleMania 38. Rey Mysterio and Dominic teamed together up against, I think, was it Logan Paul and The Miz? I think that's right. And then WrestleMania 40, they went 1-1, you know, 1-on-1 against each other. And now, or WrestleMania 39, I apologize, they went 1-on-1. And now WrestleMania 40, they're tagging against each other. So they're getting pretty much every variation of a match you can do involving one another, three straight WrestleManias. That's pretty impressive, just being completely honest. But New Catch Republic, they hit a double burning hammer to defeat LDF and earn a spot in that six-pack ladder match at WrestleMania 40. But it was the interaction between Dominic Mysterio and Rey Mysterio, pretty much asking who you're going to tag with, because at this point it wasn't introduced or it wasn't announced that Dragon Lee was a member of LWO. So I thought, or was it going to be Carlito? That's kind of just, you know, what I was expecting.
I had a hunch that Dragon Lee was going to be part of LWO, with as much as he's been hanging around Ray and all that, and defending Ray and everything.
Yeah, and as much as not even just that aspect, but also Legado del Fantasma pretty much just bullying him backstage, you know, just giving him a common enemy with the LWO, and that makes it easy. And you mentioned it just seems like a perfect fit too. So it does make sense that Dragon Lee joins the group and then tags with Rey Mysterio, which is going to be a pretty big moment for his career, especially whenever you look at possibly passing the torch as that current lucha wrestler in WWE. But the whole reason Dominic was even out there in the ring in the first place was because Santos Escobar wanted to personally thank him for interfering last week and then pretty much face-to-face tell him that he was right whenever he and, you know, Santos, way back whenever Santos was teaming with Rey Mysterio, and Dominic was the one that was feuding with Rey Mysterio and telling him, hey, like, this is a deadbeat dad, all that good stuff, pretty much setting himself up for, I guess, the vindication, you know, that he was right, Dominic, that is. But because he was out there with Legado del Fantasma, his other faction, the Judgment Day, they really weren't too happy about that. In fact, there was a little bit of tension backstage. They just, you know, none of them expected Dominic to do that. They're kind of questioning, well, did you know he was doing it? No. Did you know he was doing it? No. And then, you know, Damian Priest points out how important this WrestleMania is for them, not only just individually, but as a group. And, you know, it's just one of those things where maybe the split up and the breakup of the Judgment Day might be happening a little bit sooner than we all expected. What are your thoughts on the Judgment Day and the tension that's been going on in the group?
I've felt that it's been leading up to this, and I, you know, it's kind of suspicious how Finn's like been saying, you know, well, you know, something's going on. Something's going on.
Yeah, for
he's
sure.
He's been saying it for a while too. Finn's been saying that in the background.
Yeah, he has. But you know, I guess I don't really care if they break up or not, just being honest. It's been a group that I feel like has kind of ran its course. The creator of the group has been in AEW for months now, you know, so it seems a little bit strange that this is still going on, just considering all that. But I'm sure the group makes a lot of money. It has one of the most popular superstars, Rhea Ripley. Dominic obviously is a heat magnet. So I don't expect the group to break up that quick, but it just seems like, you know, the things that we've seen on, you know, every time we see them have more and more tension and more of a wedge gets driven between them, it just seems like it could be something that gets sped up. And obviously we've seen groups get broken up early time and time again. Let's go ahead and move on to another match here. Austin Theory and Grayson Waller defeat the Street Profits via pinfall. And it was really just a roll up here. As you can, I'm sure, recall, the video package or the Jumbotron showed Bobby Lashley being attacked by Karrion Kross backstage. And that's whenever the roll up happened. And then afterwards, the entire Final Testament came out and pretty much just beat the hell out of not only Bobby Lashley, but the Street Profits as well. Even B-Fab got attacked backstage. So Austin Theory and Grayson Waller, they earn a spot in the six-pack challenge, just like New Catch Republic earlier in the night. Do you think that this was the right decision, having Theory and Waller go rather than the Street Profits?
I honestly think yes, because, you know, next week it could be, they could say, hey, let's make it at WrestleMania, you know, the first Testament versus whatever this freaking team that they have going on is, and doing it that way at WrestleMania to end the feud.
We do get another tag team match, pretty deadly. Elton Prince and Kit Wilson defeat Kevin Owens and Randy Orton via pinfall after Logan Paul sneaks up, knocked out Kevin Owens with brass knuckles. He hides under the ring. Luckily, Randy Orton pulls him out, puts a pretty big beat down on him, and then obviously pretty deadly come back to try to help out Logan Paul, in which case they both get stunnered and hit with an RKO. And Logan Paul gets chased out of the arena, just setting it up for, you know, a pretty good triple threat match. I always love a good triple threat match at WrestleMania. It seems like they like to do it every 10 years at least. And I'm all for it, especially whenever you're talking about a championship as prestigious as the United States Championship. So if it were to go on somebody like Randy Orton or Kevin Owens, I would be all for it. And to be completely honest, I would even be behind Logan Paul retaining it, just because I feel like he's doing a decent job being a United States champion thus far, and obviously the eyeballs that he brings onto the product. It's just, you know, it's dollar signs no matter what. So I feel like WWE has set themselves up for a win-win-win no matter what when it comes to this triple threat match. What are your thoughts on just what happened on this episode of SmackDown, though? Logan Paul appearing, using the brass knuckles again, and then getting chased out of the arena.
I felt that I knew it was going to happen, especially if they put at the beginning of a show them two, and then I knew Logan Paul was going to do something like that shady, because that's what he does. He's, you know, since he's a heel. And my thoughts on, I'd like to see Randy take it because I think he'll put more prestige to the title than what Logan Paul can do.
Yeah, Randy's already got such a Hall of Fame resume that him getting a championship run at this point in his career, I think would do wonders for him, but also for the championship and everybody that comes to challenge him. They just get to go up against Randy Orton for a championship, which, you know, is something that is a notch on everybody's belt as a professional wrestler. We also got to see backstage, or I guess just a video package of Io Sky, who was cutting a promo. As soon as the cameraman or whoever it was said, all right, cut, clear, whatever, we got it. Bayley comes out of nowhere and attacks Io Sky, gets her hands on her, which is, you know, something that Io Sky's had coming for a while now. And Bayley's, you know, she finally gets a chance to take out some of this frustration after all these months. What did you think about Bayley putting the attack on Io Sky after she finished her little interview, or I guess her little video package promo?
I thought that was the right move, especially for what's to build. You know, to show EO, hey, you're not the boss, you know, of the women's industry.
So. And the last question I'll ask you before we get into obviously the main event and then our WrestleMania predictions is, the storm has arrived. What do you think about Jade Cargill making her appearance, you know, finally here on SmackDown, but just coming over to WWE? How do you think she's going to do? Do you have high expectations for her, or do you think that, you know, maybe she might be a little overhyped at this point?
I think she's overhyped, honestly. Yes, she could be a great wrestler. I didn't really watch her when she was part of AEW, so I didn't know much about her per se. But what I've seen from the Royal Rumble and tonight's show, she got a lot of power, but can she, you know, when the stacks against her, can she back it up? That's the question.
Yeah, I think that it really depends on who you ask, really, if she's overhyped, you know, because I feel like there are some people with reasonable expectations. They know that she's not as polished as some of the wrestlers that are here on the WWE roster, but whenever you look at what she's bringing to the table from a starting point and her upside, you know, it's draft season. We're looking at traits. We're looking at potential. We're looking at landing spots. I feel like she landed in a perfect situation where she's going to be booked as this babyface, teaming up with Bianca Belair, possibly Naomi. It looked like she was there too. I mean, who knows if this quote unquote team is going to actually go anywhere, or if it was just babyfaces helping babyfaces. But her demeanor, her aura, you know, what she has, I feel like, in my opinion, I think that she's in a perfect situation where the people in WWE, you know, at the Performance Center, the wrestlers she's going to be going up against, rubbing shoulders with backstage, such as, you know, wrestlers like Natalya, you know, even people that are her size that are kind of thriving right now. You look at Raquel Rodriguez, you look at Rhea Ripley and Bianca Belair. Like, there's so many people that she can lean on at this point that can try to bring it out of her. They didn't give her a whole lot of mic time. You could tell she's not polished on the microphone. But she did say the storm has arrived. It's about damn time. And I feel like if she were to have a mouthpiece, like if she were to just somehow, after this whole Bloodline thing is over, find her way to work with Paul Heyman or somebody like that, then yeah, we might be looking at, no pun intended, the next big thing, obviously. And I shouldn't even said that. We're not trying to quote Brock Lesnar or anything like that, but I'm just saying that being with Paul Heyman and you get Jade Cargill, you can get the most out of her with someone that can put her over on a weekly basis, that can cut the promos while, you know, in the meantime, she's polishing her game at live events and obviously at the Performance Center too. Just polishing her craft while also having somebody in her corner that can elevate her, not make her get exposed on the microphone, because she can get better at that over time. I think that maybe she could have a pretty successful career. I'm not going to say she's going to be a Hall of Famer out of the gate, but I would be lying if I said that I wasn't extremely excited about this addition, and I have pretty high expectations for her.
See, one thing I wasn't too keen on this episode – of SmackDown was when they were saying the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. I'm just not a fan of it, because it's been, they've had it too long. And especially with what the tasks are, it's putting it down.
Yes, it's really just, it's one of those things like, it's a way to get on the card. You know, like if you don't have a promo or a program, if you don't have any type of feed going on, and you're not tied up with anybody, it's a good way just to get someone used at WrestleMania because you want to satisfy all the fans. So I'm with you. Like, I'm not over here looking forward to the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. Like, that's not something that I'm going to get excited about. But it's also, like, I guess I understand why. And it's not
– and it's not even all in WrestleMania. It's the night before WrestleMania.
Yeah, that's how it was last year, too. That's just – come on. You know, like, at that point, yeah. Like, let's do away with this, you know. So I'm with you. That's kind of a little bit of a misuse of talent. Like, if you don't – like, WrestleMania isn't a participation award. Like, you don't get to just be on WrestleMania, or I guess in this case, the night before WrestleMania. Like, so that's why I'm with it being on SmackDown if they're going to do it anyways, whatever. But just, I guess, I don't know. I just feel like you need to earn your spot at WrestleMania. And, you know, there's ways that you can do that. Obviously, Jade Cargill, she does end up getting a spot, which I believe it might have been announced that she has a six-woman tag match at WrestleMania. We'll talk about that here in just a little bit because in the main event, Bianca Belair defeats Dakota Kai. As soon as that third hand hits the mat, as soon as the bell rings, the rest of Damage Control comes out there to try to put a beat down on Bianca Belair, and then out comes Naomi, which obviously it's still not enough. And then you see Jade Cargill's music hit. She walks slowly, calm, just to the ring. You can kind of tell that everyone was waiting. Everyone's eyes were on her to see what's going to happen here. She gets in the ring, pretty much saves the day. The big boot wasn't extremely impressive, but the power bomb that she did to Dakota Kai, I rewinded it. I showed my roommate and I said, look, this right here, if you're just looking at a wrestling prospect, similar, and we'll kind of tie it back to football. If you're watching a quarterback's pro day and he scrambles to the left, bam, moves back over to the right on the run, throws the football 55 yards down the field, right in the breadbasket, you're going to put a little check mark. Like, okay, this player has something. In the wrestling world, seeing how smoothly she picked up another professional wrestler, another grown woman, powerbombed her on the mat, the force and the power that was behind that powerbomb, that's you check that and you say, okay, like she has something. Her floor is a lot higher than a lot of other women's floor. In fact, her floor is higher than some women's ceiling that we're talking about that are currently on the roster. So that's why I can look at Jade and think, man, with, you know, the piece of clay that she is that can be molded by somebody, you know, that's on the roster. And, you know, just like I mentioned, all the talent that she's going to be surrounded by that can help her figure out this business. I truly think she's set up better than she was at AEW. That's obvious. But possibly having a match at WrestleMania this quickly, do you think that's a little bit too quick for her to, I guess, be showcased, especially in front of a crowd of like 80,000?
Yes, I do. But with what her talents was, like, I was watching one of her moves, where she was behind the girl, the double arm scissor face slam or whatever it's called. That right there, that girl, she literally looked like a doll compared to Jade.
Yes.
But I think they need to promote her more before she gets a big event like this, because this is just throwing somebody into the wolves.
Yes, it really is. But luckily she's going to be surrounded by the talent that she is, you know, being surrounded by Bianca Belair and Naomi. I feel like it's going to help her out a lot. And then going up against women that are so much smaller than her, like the other three women in Damage Control, I think that's going to, you know, make it a little bit easier for her. But let's go ahead and look at this card, shall we? It's prediction season. Like, it's time for us to kind of get ahead of the ball here, maybe get our predictions out a little bit earlier than what we normally do here for WrestleMania. Now, obviously, cards are going to happen, like, or changes are going to happen. That's just inevitable. But we can still go through what we have right now in front of us. Right, you know, it's Saturday, so a week away from WrestleMania night, or WrestleMania 40 night one. So let's look at some of the things that we're going to be having at our disposal here. WWE Women's Championship match, Io Sky versus Bayley. I'll let you go first here.
Okay, so I'm gonna say Bailey. Bailey's gonna outmaneuver Io. But I have a feeling that damage control is gonna come in and help Io, which in turn the Naomi, Bianca, and Jay Cargill are gonna be Bailey's backup.
I'm with you on that. I think that Bailey will 100% win the championship here and probably have a pretty damn good 2024. She deserves it, obviously, for what she's done, and I think she still looks phenomenal just in the ring. I know that she's definitely getting a little bit older. She's been around for quite some time, and she is not a spring chicken, but I think that she's got a lot of great years ahead of her, and this is going to be a pretty big moment for her winning this championship at WrestleMania. The other women's championship, the women's world championship match, Rhea Ripley versus Becky Lynch. This is a tough one because Rhea Ripley won this championship. Did she win it this at WrestleMania last year?
Yes.
I think she did. Yeah. So,
yeah.
She could lose it at this, you know, this year mark, you know, going from WrestleMania to WrestleMania, and Becky Lynch kind of cementing herself, obviously selling the book. This could be a big moment for her. This is probably one of the most unpredictable matches that I've come across on the card thus far, just looking at the entire list. But if I'm going to pick the other championship to change hands, I'm kind of on the fence with this one. I think that I'm going to lean towards the champion retaining, and I think Rhea Ripley is going to continue to be on top.
Look, I like Rhea. But I don't like the action she's doing. I feel Becky, she wants it more. So that being said, I feel she's gonna win it.
Well, I wouldn't be shocked. Like I said, I'm on the fence. Like, I think Becky Lynch with where she is in her career would make sense for either one of these wins.
I mean, look at what she did with Nia, and Rhea hasn't even beaten Nia yet.
Yeah, I mean, I would be behind a Becky Lynch victory, no doubt about it. Up next is the Intercontinental Championship match, Gunther versus Sami Zayn. I'll give it back to you here. Is Sami Zayn the one to dethrone Gunther?
Yes. 100% yes. Because in the previous weeks, Gunther's been saying, look, I need somebody I'm done, is what he's been saying. I'm done with this title. I'm ready to move on. And he wants to battle somebody like Sami Zayn. And I feel Sami Zayn, yes, he's won the title before, but he didn't get the opportunity where he's at now to elevate it more than what it already is. I mean, look what he did with Roman Reigns.
Yeah, I think he is beyond it. He knows that he's pretty much done everything he can with this championship. So Sami Zayn winning it would be a monumental moment for him and his career. And you're satisfying Gunther by allowing him to elevate himself and go on to something else, you know, go on to greener pastures, I guess. So I would be behind a Sami Zayn victory as well. Undisputed WWE Tag Team Championship, the six-pack ladder match, Finn Balor and Damian Priest versus DIY versus Awesome Truth versus The New Day versus New Catch Republic versus Austin Theory and Grayson Waller. Now, this one, very interesting. I'm going to roll with DIY. I just think that when you look at everybody in here, I want to give it to a true tag team. I feel like if WWE is serious about doing something about this whole tag team picture and they actually want to, you know, revamp those belts, get the color out of there, you know, make single championships that are just the undisputed tag team championships, putting them on a team like DIY, not to mention their connection with Triple H, how close he is. That's kind of what I'm factoring in as well with the Sami Zayn thing. Like, Triple H is really close to Sami Zayn. And Triple H is big on giving people their quote unquote WrestleMania moment. DIY has such a historic pass together at NXT, and the fact that they're showcasing their ability to be a tag team and, you know, elevate the tag team division at WrestleMania 40, I feel pretty confident the DIY can do this and, you know, take the championships away from whoever, you know, whether it's, you know, obviously from Balor and Damian Priest, but they're going to have to climb a ladder to win this match. I think that Ciampa and Johnny Gargano can get it done.
My opinions, probably a little bit different than yours. Yeah, DIY, you know, much love. They get, you know, they're a good possibility to win it. But I think since this is WrestleMania, the biggest WrestleMania of them all, I think The Miz and R-Truth. R-Truth has never won a singles championship or never held an actual championship besides the 24/7. And he won that 70-something times, but he never held it. So I feel R-Truth and The Miz are going to get this.
I would be fine with that outcome as well. Both of us seem like going with underdog teams here, you know, given the New Day and their resume, almost unfair at this point. New Catch Republic is just on fire. You got Theory and Grayson Waller that I feel pretty confident they're not going to get it done. And then obviously the champions could always retain. But with the cracks happening in the Judgment Day, like we kind of mentioned a little bit earlier,
it seems like look how close R-Truth and Triple H are. They've known each other for 20 some years. So, I mean.
Yeah, no doubt. United States Championship, Logan Paul, Randy Orton, and Kevin Owens. Who do you got in this one?
I got Randy Orton.
I want to pick Randy too, just because of, you know, him coming back. His comeback was kind of watered down by CM Punk's just happening in the same night. Randy was pretty upset that they leaked it, that he wasn't able to, you know, get that surprise pop that he probably was looking forward to for the entire time he was out. So winning a championship at WrestleMania, it, you know, has Randy Orton written all over it. You know, he was a part of WrestleMania 20 as his first WrestleMania. So here we are 20 years from that. It makes sense giving him the belt. I want to pick Randy Orton as well. I'm just like, are they going to, you know, make us this happy? Like, are they really, do they really want to see us walk away with this much joy from WrestleMania? Because Randy Orton, that would make all the, you know, all the fans happy.
So, and on top of that, I don't know if you noticed, like, at the end of the thing he had with Logan Paul at the beginning of the show, Randy looked like he goes, it's receipt time.
Up next, we got LA Knight versus AJ Styles. I think, because AJ Styles already teased, he's probably going to get new entrance music. This is another tough one here, but I'm going to go with LA Knight. I think that, you know, just how hot he is right now and where AJ Styles is, he's at the point where he can put over somebody like LA Knight at the WrestleMania where he finally has like all the crowd behind him. I'll pick LA Knight to win this one.
This is a tough one because of the fact that, you know, they both have much to gain, but much to lose too. I think I'm going to go with, I got to go with LA Knight just for the clarification of saying I got my receipt.
So did Dominic beat Rey Mysterio last year at WrestleMania?
No. No.
So Rey got the win, right?
Yes.
Well, in that case, I am picking Dominic Mysterio and Santos Escobar to defeat Rey Mysterio and Dragon Lee because I just – Dominic, he's that slimy, slithering type of nuisance that you really just – you wish you could squash him, but you somehow can't. So, yeah, I think he's going to get a win here and finally get the better of his dad at WrestleMania, whether he is – the one who pins Rey Mysterio, or if it ends up being Santos pinning Dragon Lee or vice versa. In fact, I will probably go on a limb. I think Dominic is going to pin Rey Mysterio, and they are going to get the win, you know, the heel team.
I don't think that's not how it's going to go down. I feel like Rey and Dragon Lee are going to get the win. Just because of what all Dragon Lee can do, he and everything, I think they're gonna get the win and the pin to end Dom and Santos Escobar's feud.
Let's see. Now we got Jade Cargill, Bianca Belair, and Naomi versus Asuka, Kairi Sane, and Dakota Kai. I think this one's a pretty easy one, despite, you know, Damage Control being a pretty good faction. Jade Cargill isn't losing this early in her run. They're trying to book her like an absolute unbeatable force. You can just tell. Like, you can tell that it's going to be a while before she loses. And especially you team her up with Bianca Belair, who has a WrestleMania win streak of her own.
It's 2 years in a row.
Yeah, like, you know, Bianca is someone that she steps up to the big moments for WrestleMania. So yeah, give me the babyface team.
Oh yeah, babyface team. I mean, cause you got Bianca Belair that's won two back to back WrestleManias. So she's undefeated at WrestleMania. I think she's going to be like the next, like, I feel the next Undertaker kind of thing. And then you got Naomi. She's bringing herself to be known again, and so is Jade. So I feel like they're good. They're just gonna stomp the Damage Control.
All right, things get juicy here. We got The Rock and Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins. I think that it's The Rock and Roman. They're gonna get this win here. Don't know how. Don't know what all is gonna take place in this match, but I just feel like there's no way that you're going to make the path easy for Cody Rhodes. Is he going to win? We'll get our picks here in just a little bit, but I just think that, like, in order for it to be like Cody Rhodes accomplished or defeated all odds, you know, like he pretty much just rose to the occasion, is to make it as hard as possible and make him take the path with the most resistance. And the way to do that is to have the match be Bloodline rules. And somehow, you know, you lose that tag team match probably because they got cheated out. And then, you know, whenever we get to WrestleMania Night 2 and he has to go one-on-one with Roman Reigns, he's going to have to, you know, overcome the Samoan Spike and all the other things that have costed so many other Roman Reigns challengers in the past. But I do feel pretty confident that The Rock and Roman Reigns are going to win WrestleMania Night 1.
I think Night 1, the Bloodline is gonna win. Just because I feel like they're gonna have some disqualification to win, to get that Bloodline. They're not gonna let Cody get it easy.
Yes, no doubt about it. It's pretty much just making him take the path with the most resistance. So that takes us to the main events of Night 2, the World Heavyweight Championship match, Seth Rollins versus Drew McIntyre. Is this the moment that Drew gets it done? Do you think that we finally have a new World Heavyweight Champion in WWE?
Absolutely. I think Seth needs some time off and come back strong. I feel is going to be a double turn. I feel afterwards Drew's going to be all happy and Seth's going to attack him and then leave for a while and Drew's going to be the baby face.
It could happen. Give Drew that moment that he's been desperately wanting to be the guy with fans in attendance. I can only imagine what those promos are going to be like if he were to actually win it. But that takes us to the main event. The Undisputed WWE Universal Championship match, Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes. You're the guest here on the show, so I will let you go first. What do you think is going to happen here?
I think it's going to start off like a one-on-one kind of deal. Then the whole Bloodline comes out, and they could bring in Jacob Fatu. From Independent, just to be there, because he's part of the Bloodline, the whole, you know, and then Cody, he nods or whatever, and his whole team shows up, kind of like, the Avengers kind of match, and have John Cena, have, Jey Uso, have, who else? Seth. And then you hear, the glass shatter, John. And then that's when you know Stone Cold shows up and then adding it. And then, you know, there could be a possibility of Dustin, the Gold Dust come out. There's that possibility. But I feel to even the match and Cody, gets, Roman and pins him on 2-3.
I just feel like if you want to build Cody as the new face of the company, like he, you know, WrestleMania's tagline is, you know, finish your story, you know, and finish the story. And I just feel like there's no way that you could have him lose 2 years in a row in this spot. Like it just, I feel like you built the situation.
The whole story thing, look, I understand it. It took me a while to understand it. The story has nothing to do with his dad. That's the thing. The story is the fact that he, when he came to the business many years ago, he tried to get a championship. Couldn't get one. He left. He got him over there when he started his own franchise. Then he comes back and he says, I want to finish my story. I want to get my championship.
I'm with you. I think that the story is deeper than a lot of people might realize or might even care about. A lot of people are like, well, I don't care. You know, I don't want Cody Rhodes to win anyway. So, you know, it's irrelevant at this point. But I feel like
I'm not a Cody fan at all, though.
Yeah. You just have to ask yourself at this point, like, what do you think is more likely? That Roman Reigns is on his last week as champion and this historic streak is about to come to an end? Or do you feel like Cody Rhodes is about to lose his second main event singles match in a row? Now, it wouldn't necessarily surprise me if he lost because they've done it to people in the past, such as Roman Reigns, but it wasn't two back-to-back WrestleMania main events that this guy just flat-out lost. You know, whenever he lost that.
The one thing I've wanted from Cody is for him to show why he's called the Nightmare. Because, I mean, his dad has showed multiple times he's the American Dream, has showed it, that he's the American Dream. He was the face of the company. But Cody, in 2 years that he's been back, has never shown a sign of evil. So he's only shown his good side and being the politician, the goody good tissue kind of kid, right? He's never shown the evil side, the Nightmare. I want to see it. And this is the best place to see it at, is at WrestleMania.
Dang. Well, I'm probably going to pick Cody Rhodes too, just because I don't think they could do it to him 2 years in a row. It's crazy. Like I said, they put themselves in the situation. So one of two outcomes is going to happen. The streak comes, or he has to suffer the last 2 years in a row. I picked Cody to win last year and I was wrong. I'm going to possibly have history itself because again, we'll see what happens, but that is the match without a doubt looking forward to the most 2 years. You know, some people don't want to feel what I do. That feud and Cody did a good job of making it 30 of a second. And, you know, the video package probably before the match begins, I could expect that to be true cinema. You know, cinema, it gets thrown around so much. Like whenever you think about, like, people will see a wrestling promo and they'll say, ooh, this is cinema. And it's just, you know, it's almost like generational. Whenever you, you know, I'll tie it back to a football evaluation. People throw out the term generational talent a lot lately, you know, and I feel like people do that again, or people do that with cinema and wrestling. But I think that with how good the WWE production team is, and you have everything at your disposal that we've seen over the past 2 years with these guys, you could put together something truly special. And I think that, you know, we could get something similar to the My Way video package that we got with Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Rock back in WrestleMania 17. But Frankie, thank you so much for joining me. Obviously, this is going to be the last time you make an appearance here on the WWE podcast. You have a lot of things going on yourself that I'm going to let you plug. And obviously, you've shown up for the football function as well. So I definitely want to appreciate you and say thank you for taking some time out of your weekend to talk about WrestleMania and SmackDown with me. I really appreciate it.
Oh, not a problem. Not a problem. Not a problem.
Is there anything you need to say? Any plug, shout out, anything like that before I let you go?
So to let y'all know, I am thinking about starting a, every Sunday on TikTok. If you guys are a part of TikTok, if you are, find me. I am Frankly Wilder. And I'm going to be doing like a mailbag kind of deal. Let me know what you guys think. Message me. Let me know, that's something you would like to do. And I'm going to have a co-host on it. We're going to go and pretty much talk about, you know, people's questions, concerns, what their thoughts, anything that has to do with the WWE. And then you can also find me on, Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it. Frankly Wilder. That's where you find me at.
Well, there you have it. Definitely look up Frankie. He's going to get some going. I think it's going to be pretty fun, very interactive with all of the, you know, the contributors and all the followers and everything like that. So definitely give him a listen and, you know, a check out over there on TikTok, because TikTok's where, you know, you can spend hours and hours just getting distracted, whether you're, you know, in the car or doing something you're not supposed to when you're at work, you know, just, you know, I'm supposed to be staying busy, but here I am looking at TikToks and I'm just wasting all this time, all that good stuff. You know, TikTok's one of my favorite apps to just be a consumer of, not necessarily a creator, but I definitely absorb a lot of TikTok videos. But thank you guys so much for tuning in here. We are 1 week away from WrestleMania, so obviously things are about to get very juicy this week. I don't know if there's going to be a single day without something going on, you know, starting Monday all the way to WrestleMania Sunday. So
I have a question for you.
Go ahead.
What would you give a rating for Mondays? Did you watch Mondays at all?
I watched bits and pieces of it, not the full 3-hour show, but I was able to kind of pick out certain things and, you know, go to YouTube and things like that.
Okay. What would you give a rating for Monday and today's?
I think Monday Night Raw was absolutely a better show. They had more star power. They were able to, you know, really hit the ball out of the park with some of their segments and get the internet talking. And I think SmackDown, the outsider, like the casual fan may not look at this episode of SmackDown and think, oh, this was just a brilliant show. But whenever you look at, obviously introducing Jade Cargill, we get more storyline development with the women's picture, and then the tag team advancing to WrestleMania. I think this car or this specific SmackDown had a lot to offer, but it wasn't your better SmackDown. So because Raw was so good, like if you're combining the shows, I would say it was a pretty good week of SmackDown or of WWE programming. But if you were to take out, you know, the star-studded episode of Monday Night Raw, and you were just evaluating this episode of SmackDown by itself, it wasn't the best, but, you know, I appreciate the good stuff that came from it.
So SmackDown, I gave it probably like a 2 out of 5. I mean, I was really not – there's only bits – like the whole Heyman thing, I was not interested in that at all, because he was saying some stuff that was not – like, it had made no sense at all. And then there was parts, you know, but overall the action, I mean, yeah, it was cool, but it was predictable.
Yeah, no doubt.
And then Raw, it was like a 4 out of 5. Because with all the, everything going on.
Yeah, Raw was an elite show. Like, I really appreciated that. Like, if I had the time, I would love to sit down and watch every single second of it. But luckily we have people that kind of fill us in on all the juicy, noteworthy stuff, and we're able to kind of just watch what we have time for. And, you know, that's pretty much all you can do at this point. But yeah, I think that this was a great week, this past week of WWE programming, and we're probably going to get another good week, just being completely honest. Just the one that's coming up, I have some pretty high expectations for it. So I am definitely looking forward to talking to you about it the next time we chat, and then getting all the WWE podcast listeners' opinions, you know, with the mailbag and all of the other ways that you can get a hold of Matt, of DJ Kuzmo, everybody else that is involved with the mailbag. You know, it's a nice way to keep in touch. And obviously subscribing to Patreon gets you access to the Discord chat. So another great way to communicate. But thank you guys so much. Hope you all have a damn good week. Walk passionately in the direction of your dreams, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening to the WWE Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast app so you don't miss a show, or head to WWEPodcast.com. And for all of these shows ad-free, head over to patreon.com/WWE Podcast. Until then, we'll see you next time.